This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. My name is Mark Walton, filling in for Dave Kellner this week, who's unfortunately not able to join in. But luckily, we still have Mike Grenham and Mr. Dave Tindall in the studio to look ahead to this week's action. How are you, fellas?
How come he's a mister and I'm not?
I was going to call you Mike Grenham, but it's too far. How are you, fellas? Anyway, both good?
We're good. We're good. We had an interesting week last week, Mark, because myself and Dave... Every week, we obviously, and Dave Kellner, we pick a player we don't want to win. And our two players that we didn't want to win finished first and second in the Cadillac.
Yeah.
Not the ones that we'd picked, the ones we didn't want to win. But they were out there, the ones that we nearly picked. So it was...
Hopefully people, you know, if they were wavering and they...
They might have well have had a...
Might tipped him over the line. I think I qualified mine by saying I don't want him to win, but I do want him to win for the money list purposes.
Yes, indeed.
And that was nice, wasn't it?
Yes. Dave, a few weeks ago, Mark, tipped Dustin Johnson to win the money list, and both myself and Mr. Kellner have followed him in on that advice. That prize at the weekend was a massive one.
$1.57 million.
So those who've joined us, or joined you, should I say, really, like we have, are on good terms. Yeah. I was really relieved, Dave. I don't rub it in for you because I know he was your player you didn't want to win.
But
as you say, you'd some
compensate,
massive compensation with the money list bet. But JB Holmes, I normally have a little saver on my players I don't want to win. So
was he 66s?
Yeah. Yep. So it would have been, I was, you know... I'd have been kicking the wall. Or
but I saw your tweet. Were you driving back?
I was, yes. I was in London and right. I didn't. So I thought I'd come back to see him winning by 8. And it wasn't even leading.
Yeah. Blimey.
So that's the ups and downs of golf betting.
Indeed.
With regards to the money list bet for Dustin Johnson, was that around 50-1, I was told?
Around that, yes.
There's sevens now, which is...
He's second now, isn't he, behind Bubba? So he's got 2.4 million in the bank or something. So
Bubba's playing well as well, isn't he? So, and Rory's favourite, but he hasn't.
I think at that price, we wanted to get him in the places, didn't we? And then anything on top of that is
a
massive
bonus.
But he's looking good for that.
Yeah, great start. If you can win another big one, that'll be a good bet. Well, it's a good bet already.
It is a good bet. Turning out pretty nice, and it was quite eventful, wasn't it? The event, two holes in one. You mentioned that the turnaround from 5-shot lead. I can see why you wanted to look back at it. Yeah. What about the other event in South Africa?
I didn't take a great deal of interest in that one, if I'm being honest.
Like, there's so many of them, isn't there? They kind of feel a bit, you know, B division anyway, but when they're up against the WGC, it's really.
And this week I have tried to study the Tishwan, is that how you say it, Dave? How do you say that thing?
I don't know. I'll misspell that 10 times.
I had quite a long look at it, but I just couldn't summon up the strength of a bet. And if I don't have a bet on an event myself, I won't tip anything because everything I tip, I bet. You know, so vice versa. So, did you pick anything this week, Dave, in the South African event?
Well, because they sort of all kind of merge into one a bit. I think there's no harm in picking Trevor Fisher Jr. again. I
mean, the winner, yeah.
He kind of hacked up last week in the end by 5. Mm. It's one of those weeks where sometimes the winner at the finish, they look kind of exhausted, like they've been 12 rounds with Mike Tyson, but he looked fresh as a daisy, didn't he? Because did he shoot 63, 64 on the weekend?
Yeah.
It was his first win, but when he was interviewed afterwards, he just looked like, it was my time, this is all good. And I can't really see any reason why
you're going to follow in on him again?
I'm going to follow him in. He's 25s. I mean... You think Andy Sullivan's won 2 events in South Africa, I think if you get hot there...
The competition isn't great, is it?
He's up against the same sort of muddling field. And I mean, the other bonus is this course has been used for lots of South African Sunshine Tour events.
Yes, it has, yeah.
So all the locals have seen it. He's done quite well there before, Trevor Fisher Jr. Mm. All the overseas sort of Euro Raiders haven't seen it, so that's a little edge for the home player. So put it all together, I just think if there's any South African you want to be following, it's him.
Yeah.
And I just think 25s is fair enough because, you know, I can just see the same sort of, you know, cast list appearing again.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Now, I was tempted a little bit by Felipe Aguilar. I was obviously not South African, but I just thought he was quite a big price for a player who's got decent form in the last couple of years and just improving a little bit. But I couldn't summon enough interest to have a bet on him myself. So I haven't had an interest in this event. But what kind of points would you be having on Trevor Fisher Jr. then?
I'll go, well, 25s. I tend to sort of go up a little bit from a point each way. If it's 25s, maybe point and a half.
Point and a half?
Point and a half, Trevor Fisher.
Point and a quarter?
We'll go halves.
Yeah, I'll just spin you through the betting there quickly. Ross Fisher 14-1, 16s for Andy Sullivan. George Curtsey is 16-1 with Jacko Van Zyl. Apologies if these pronunciations become incorrect, because then you got Byung Hun An, who's 25-1. 25s for Darren Fickart as well. Richard Stern is 25s. Roman Vattel is 25s. And Trevor Fisher Jr. 25 is most
important. You got the last one right, anyway.
Yeah, just make up the others in between.
Make sure you get the right Fisher if you haven't.
I was going to ask you about the other Fisher, because Ross Fisher seems to enjoy playing in South Africa, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, he won his defending champion. It was on a different course, so I think people need to be aware of that. He's flying in from Florida, where he played pretty well in that Cadillac. I think his final 54 holes were quite strong. Mm. So you can see why he's favourite, but not 14-1.
No, not for me. Did you see that Brendan De Jong was well in contention last week as a short price player who never wins?
Yeah.
And it happened again, didn't it? You know, and in the South African event, Jaco van Zyl never.
No.
He's won Sunshine Tour events, hasn't he? But
yes.
I don't think he's ever won on the European Tour, hasn't he?
No.
And just they just get very short in the betting. They start short for some of these events and never get the job done. So Ross Fisher's probably more resilient than those two, but he's not for me at 14.
No.
Okay. Did you find it trickier this time around because it's a new venue?
When you say that,
yeah.
Oh, you say first story on the EuropeanTour.com, new venue for, and they're all excited, and it's like you're thinking, where's the course?
Exactly.
But then when you delve, there is a lot. There's all these tournaments on the Sunshine Tour called Vodacom Origins and Vodacom this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And there's loads of them. So
they do tend to play the courses, don't they?
Yeah.
I assume there's only so many good courses in South Africa, so if you're going to have a tour, you've got to play all of them probably, haven't you, in a year?
So
that would be my guess. Not the most informed one, I admit.
Yeah, well, that's a fair one. They play more than once a year at that venue,
exactly.
And I think the form is between 2005 and 2011, so it's a little bit old, but most of the regular South African guys know it quite well. So it's in Pretoria, which is kind of inland a bit.
Yeah.
So there's going to be less wind, and it's going to be hotter than, you know, on the coast, pretty obviously.
Yes, yes.
So I thought that might suit a Spaniard, possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just trying to, you know, think a bit.
Well, Aguilar would fit that bill a little bit as well, wouldn't he? Yeah. So yeah.
Campillo was, I don't know what odds he is, Jorge Campillo, 50s.
Yeah.
So he was tied third last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, might be a fair shout.
Yeah,
a bit of sun on his back.
I have to say that I'll be glad when the European Tour heads back to the European mainland, and it's just a little bit easier to read, and the prices are more realistic for players, you know. So I'm happy to sit out the South African Tour again this week. The European Tour again this week.
Feels like it,
doesn't
it?
Right, then let's move on to the US event, the Valspar Championship. The market headed for that one by Adam Scott, who's 12-1. John Spieth is 14s. Henrik Stenson 16s. Jim Furyk is 20-1, as is Luke Donald. 25-1 for Justin Rose. Matt Kuchar is 25s with Patrick Reed. It's 28-1 for Ryan Moore, and 33s or bigger for the others. It's played at the Copperhead course in Innisbrook. Difficult, 7,340 yards, second only to Pinehurst in par breakers. Designed by Larry Packard, and it's a pretty tricky one, isn't it?
Tough course, it's more of a ball strikers course this one, Mark, than Doral last week, which we didn't mention, but it really turned out to be a bomber's paradise, didn't it? Just almost the three longest hitters in the event finished 1, 2, 3. This requires a little bit more thought and a little bit more plotting,
not,
I think.
It's not very, most Florida tracks are kind of flat with loads of water all over the shot, but this is more undulating and doesn't have water, so it's a bit of a different test.
Yeah, more tree-lined, I guess, as well, isn't it? Yeah, and it is undulating, you're right. The greens are certainly a little bit tougher. I think you need, it's more of a course experience type course.
It certainly, it throws up the same names, doesn't it?
It does,
Goosen's won it twice.
Yeah, yeah.
John Senden won it last year, but he'd had two previous runners-up finishes. So.
Correct. So it does seem to throw up those guys who either like it or you don't type of thing. But Doral for next year, by the way, just, you know, keep in mind, anyone who can hit it a mile, they've got every chance of winning. It's a good course and an event that's been established for a long time, Mark, and therefore lots of course experience. And I've gone for a couple of players myself that that have had decent finishes here before.
Okay, well, we'll start with your picks first, Mike, because we already had one from Dave. So do you want to give us your headline pick this week?
My headline pick is Martin Laird is my headline pick this week, although I have to confess that I was preparing for the Cheltenham Festival today and watching and getting my forms to be ready for the horses, and I thought Martin Laird was 50-1, but he's actually been clipped into 40s this morning before we recorded this. So not as keen at 40s and 50s, but I couldn't let him go at that price. Was fifth here two or three years ago, top 30 the year before that. His career then after the last couple of years has gone downhill slightly until the back end of last season, the 2013-14 season, where he had a couple of nice finishes towards the end of that season, that campaign, where Barracuda, I think, was his first decent finish for quite a while. And then has started this season really nicely. Decent finishes in the Fries, the Shriners, and in his last three events has gone 15th in the Humana, 5th in the Phoenix, and 7th in the Farmers. So he's a guy who's underrated, I think. He's got three tour wins to his name, the Scott. Has good course form with at least one good finish, that 5th, 3 or 4 years ago. So he does appeal to me this week. Key point is that he's top 20 for greens in regulation on tour this year. He's 16th, actually. And this new stats, shots gained tee to green, which is kind of a reworking of the putting stats, the shots gained element, he's 14th on that as well. So really nice figures. Good ball striker, close to the top 14 ball striking on tour. So Martin Laird, they're the type of players I'm looking for, you know, people who can hit the ball well. If he gets his putter in gear this week, he's in very nice form with some good form in the event. He's a winner when he gets there. I like his chance.
Okay. So Martin Laird, the headline pick for Mike. What about yourself, Dave?
Well, it's like we planned this. Funnily enough, I've gone for a Scott as well.
Russell Knox.
Yes.
He crossed my mind. He's a similar, maybe not quite as long off the tee, but a similar kind of, yeah, they're good players.
Even though when you hear him speak, it's got that really strange sort of odd mix of
transatlantic kind of, yeah.
It's really strange. Almost sort of like cowering listening to it. It's like hard listen now. But I'm quite happy to listening to him if he's going to be interviewed.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable when you live somewhere, you start picking up a little bit of the twang. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll forgive him that.
Yeah, well, he can speak as much as he
if
wants.
If he wins,
if he's holding the trophy on the green. Yeah, I just think he's a real one of those classic winners waiting to happen kind of figures.
Yeah, I agree.
Third in the Honda last time out. We've seen him 15th in Phoenix, 13th in the Sony. A lot of good kind of near misses, prominent performances at the back end of last year. I just think 50-1's fair. It's kind of one of those ones I slightly feared he might be clobbered a bit, like with Laird. I think if he'd gone 40s, my nose would start to sort of shrivel up a bit. But 50s, I think, is fair. Because it's a bit of a funny front of the market. You've got Adam Scott. Yeah, did well last week, but what's that? Is it called bounce theory in horse racing when a player
first run back
a good, and then the next dips one. Again?
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that happening with him somehow. Spieth, I don't know, 14-1. He's up there every week, but he's not quite. I don't know. He's not
winning enough. Possibly
not winning enough, and
that which might be a bit silly to say. I mean, he did go back to back at the back end of Australia, and then didn't he in the was it the World Challenge, the Hero Challenge? But
it's almost like that. You know, he had that massive high, and then he's just struggling to get back to that.
Dave would have tipped him, I reckon. Do you reckon? he likes him. Dave Calneed have tipped him. Yeah, he'd have been on him, I reckon.
Henrik Stenson, another one, is his first start here. Again, he was coming back off a bit of a break last week.
Yeah, played well, but that lack of course experience doesn't make him 16s for me.
No, I think his putting's not right either.
That's very important here, putting.
Yeah.
Because the greens are a little bit trickier. Yeah. It's a little bit harder to evaluate, but you do need someone who can just turn it on with the flat stick.
Right? I know I'm prepared to be sort of pelted with rotten tomatoes, but if there's someone at the front of the market, I'd pick Furyk because...
I'd be with you.
Talk about horses, of course. He is.
I know he was high on my list as well.
Yeah, he's got a win in 2010. Yeah, second. Loads of he's been in the top 20 every year, only for about 5 years or something. And we kind of look at him and think, oh, well, he never wins, does he? But if you're going on his top five,
yeah, I don't buy that.
Almost 50%.
He's been very unlucky a few times, and he's got great course form.
Keep putting yourself there. I think one time you'll get the breaks. It's not like he's doing anything horrendously wrong.
Absolutely,
it's just
not. This guy won the FedEx Cup about three years ago, didn't he?
16-time tour winner. I mean,
second in the USPGA a couple of years ago. He's always on the right courses.
And then
this is definitely one of the courses that he loves, a first and a second in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very close somewhere.
Right. Oh, right.
If he'd have been a bit bigger than 20s, yeah, I think I would have picked him, you know. Ah. But you can't blame Mark Adson and the Kapilas for putting him in at 20s because he's got a rock solid chance, hasn't he?
I mean, you could play him. What is he for? For top five, Mark, have you got that?
Let me scroll through that.
Yes.
What about Luke Donald, Dave, if you were talking about the market leaders? He's another one who's got brilliant course form, isn't he?
Yeah, it's top six the last 4 years.
Four at his last four events here.
It's 4-1 for a top five finish, by the way, Jim Furyk.
Yeah. Not the worst.
If you kind of take the line that, well, he never wins, but he does always place, then, you know. I mean, he's... Maybe you filter out majors and he's placing kind of better than 50%, so, you know, should be even money. You're getting 4-1, so.
No, I wouldn't mind him. Donald, I think, is probably, as much as he loves a course, he's probably a little underpriced on that seventh of the week.
Yeah, that's kind of the exception to the rule.
That could be, couldn't it? And, it might kid people and think he's coming back when actually a bit more proof needed for a 20-1 shot, I'm thinking, whereas Furyk has been rock solid for a long time.
Yeah, that 20-1 is all on his course form, isn't it?
Yes,
but he hasn't got the other current
criteria
form to back it up, has he?
Okay. Well, I haven't picked a market leader. My second pick is a 40-1 shot. Hopefully Mark hasn't cut him. Yes, 40-1 for Gary Woodland, who won here in 2011. So on his first outing here, remarkably, for a track that I think does need a lot of experience. And last year was eighth. So in between that, he had a 29th and a missed cut. But he went to Butch Harmon and his career went downhill for some bizarre reason, didn't it? He just seemed to lose the plot. I don't know why. Bounced back nicely in the last 18 months or so. Clearly really likes it around here. And had an eye-catching top 25 in the Cadillac last weekend all the rounds matter, don't they? But his third round of 76 really killed his chances of a top 10 or whatever, or anything like that. But certainly a little bit eye-catching. You could argue on a track that should have suited him because he's a massive hitter. But he's got some good finishes so far in this 14-15 season as Woodland at CIMB and Sony in the first event of the calendar year. So I really like his chance here. 40-1, just about right. I thought I might sneak a little bit bigger than that, but 40s will do. I think his chance is rock solid again here. I'm using that term a lot, rock solid, this week. But rock solid Gary Woodland for me.
Good stuff. Dev?
I can't quite muster a second pick, to be honest. There's a few that I sort of danced around.
Who was closest then?
Louis Oosthuizen. It's one of these, if you can get him to the start line, he goes well.
He's probably my player I don't want to win.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah, 40-1. You look at...
Just the lack of course form, that possibly. He's won 20th or something here, hasn't he? A 20th or something?
Missed cut last year, 20th.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
Yeah.
You could argue that both ways if you really wanted to make a case, couldn't you say?
Yeah.
Top 20 on debut. Yeah, I mean, if you look at his last four finishes, 6th, 2nd, 9th, 6th, but it's just that they're so... Three of those were last year. But if he does go to post, then he kind of shows up, doesn't he?
And you compare him,
like, should he be double the odds of Luke Donald or double the odds of other players, you know, around him? And he's a class act, isn't he? And that's almost saying... That price is almost saying, well, his back might go or something, but...
I'll be watching his performance closely with Augusta in mind, Dave. Obviously, he's had one very close call there. Hits it a long way. It'd be very interesting to see how he plays this week in this event. But yeah, he was probably the last man off my list. I thought Justin Rose might be a reasonable price at 25s, but not quite.
He's not on it, is he?
Not quite on it, no. Yeah. But he does play with some form here.
Yeah.
So, that Oosthuizen was very close for me. I also looked at a couple of old veterans for this, for the top 10.
Nope.
No, not Goosen. Stuart Sink and Justin Leonard are both massive prices with some course form.
I associate you with just being a Justin Leonard fan.
I am a Justin Leonard fan. albeit you wouldn't want to be following him now in every week with your tenner inch way.
Like you've not been the last 10 years.
He might be out on the street with a cap in your hand begging. But yeah, they're massive prices. Sink and Leonard for the top tens this week. I just think Leonard at 25's finished top 10. He has got some form here. Sink, I know, was 11th and 14th in two of the last 4 years. Leonard has fourth the year before last. Sink's top 10 price, I'm trying to find 18 to 1. Those two, yeah, I just think, yeah, you know, I might even have a little saver on them at huge odds to win. But they were two that caught my eye. They're more likely to be top 10 than winning, rather obviously. So yeah, that if someone wanted to have a wild stab in the dark, they'd be two players that could catch my Sink's form has been kind of reasonable this season. Leonard, this is one of the places where he can play decent. He makes the cut every time he plays here, and if he just improves a little bit, could replicate that fourth of 2013.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else either you want to mention before I move on to the players you don't want to do well?
Just at massive odds. It's kind of like an old school kind of theory. When your tour gets to Florida, look at Sean O'Hare. Because mm-hmm. He won this back in the day. Well, not even that long ago, but he's kind of vanished off the planet a bit, but he just popped up again in recent weeks with some top 25.
Yeah, so, he's starting to stir a bit, isn't he?
So you just wonder, what is he, 150s?
It might be in at 150. Yeah,
just as a, you could either do that or top 10 if you think it's more realistic. But it's one of those ones, if he pops up on the leaderboard, you go, oh gosh, Sean O'Hare in this event.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. John Sendon, what price is he, Mark? I should know this.
In the outright.
Last year's winner. He does like it here, doesn't he?
66.
Yeah, I know that.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit big for a man who loves the course.
Because his 2 second places were back to back, so you know, why not do a pair of ones back to back?
And what about Alex Chaker after his win in the Puerto Rico Open, which we didn't mention? Could he go back to back? The Czech German, whatever he is, he's kind
150s. It's a funny price, that, isn't it? Yeah. Really, you'd think he'd be a bit less than that, but
well, he's a decent enough player, but gets that monkey off his back in winning on the PGA Tour, so. Great for him. It sounded like that was an amazing finish. With we talked about Emiliano Grillo, didn't we? He got beat in the playoffs. So there's lots going on, and it's really coming to the bubble now, isn't it? The PGA Tour ahead of August, and this is another good event this week.
I was on air on the in play show on Sunday night, saying you know, look out for the Masters prices because they will go, especially Bubba, because I was kind of saying it. Should he win, he's bound to go, and well, he's been cut anyway. I think when I was talking on Sunday night, it was 12s. Mm. Now single figures, 9-1.
9-1 is short. He's fantastic there, isn't he?
I'll tell you one price I don't like, Dustin Johnson's price.
No, Augusta
just
wouldn't.
Don't have him down as an Augusta player.
No.
Just don't think he can concentrate hard enough. I think that course, you really need to be on it. Mm. And I think he's sort of, his brain wanders a bit at times. And he might have a good round, but I just can't see him putting it all together. And that 16s, for what he's done there, which is basically nothing, that's terribly short, isn't it?
I think I'd rather have the 66-1 Louis Oosthuizen in there.
Exactly, yeah.
At this moment in time, but
have you had any anti-post?
Not on Augusta yet, no. I haven't.
I'm on Mickelson at 33s just because it's
there.
You know,
yeah,
it's there.
Yeah, left-handed, loves it, yeah.
And who's the other one I did? Snedeker I'm on as well. He's must be, can't be
25s he is now, Snedeker.
Yeah, I think
so.
I'm at 50s, so I think I always look to try and pick them off anti-post.
Yes.
And they were a bit slow out of the blocks this season, so it was there, because inevitably, as soon as they show something, then the capacity's gone.
They're not likely to get injured in this, are they, golfers? So anti-post is a little bit safer than
that. Rory price is short, isn't it? I was just speaking to Mark Gadshead, our esteemed odds compiler. His fear is Rory will do nothing until the Masters
and win it
and drift out, and everyone will pile on.
Really?
I think he's
worried
wary
about that. Yeah. He's wary, so he'll keep. Yeah. Well, that's we'll be expecting big prizes on McIlroy then from that.
He's keeping him on side.
That point of view.
Even if he keeps throwing his clubs about into lakes and stuff, would he not drift then? Or?
No, his clubs might, but he won't.
It's a short price, isn't it? I don't like that at all, that price.
No, not 7-2 at the moment. No, not for me. I am tempted by the 66-1 Loomstays, and funnily enough. So I backed him the year he finished second to Bubba the first time Bubba won it. So, yeah, not the worst price in the world. I'll be watching that closely, this, like I said, for this weekend. Because it is now only, what, 3-4 weeks away? So it's getting really into the meat of the season.
Yeah.
Play, we don't want to win, did you ask, Mark? Yeah, sorry, about really 10 minutes ago.
You alluded to Oosthuizen earlier.
Oosthuizen?
Yeah, not this week.
You've said it. You've got it, pal.
Yeah. Save it for Augusta then.
Yep.
Anybody else?
Just him.
I'm struggling this week, I think, to find one. I think I didn't really mention him in South Africa, but Julian, is it Khan? He's
Quesney. Khan. Yeah, Kane, I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted a bit bigger, but I think he's had 4 top tens in his last 7 starts in South Africa.
Has he? Yeah, he's a good player.
And well, maybe 40s is all right, but I'm probably going to just skip him at that price. But if he does win, I'll be a bit...
Back him in running though, I suppose.
But I'm happy with my Trevor Fisher Jr.
Very good.
Okay,
Mark.
It's about all business done, isn't it?
Well, thank you for standing in, Mark, for Dave Keller. Yeah, it's very good of you to do that. Golf not normally being your forte, but horses is your...
It's more my thing. I'm trying to learn golf. I'm trying to learn how to play golf. It's an incredibly difficult game to play. So
it's incredibly difficult to play. It's easy to do the podcast than play, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, thank God for that. Good, it's been a pleasure anyway. So good luck with your picks, guys. And I'm informed that Dave will be back next week. So normal service resumed.
Thank you for standing in, Mark.
Yeah, cheers, Mark. Thank you.
And good luck to everyone if you're having a bet this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.